Would you take your Bible with me, if you would, and John chapter number 3, and we'll start in verse number 16 and 17. It's just where we're going to start from, then we'll end up in the book of Acts. And this morning's sermon is going to be a little bit different than maybe a normal structured sermon that I would have. I'm probably going to break a couple of the rules. Homiletically, if you understand what that exactly means. If not, disregard it. But this morning and tonight, we're trying to focus on Mission Send-Off Sunday. And we've got a delegation of men going out as missionaries on a short-term missions trip here from Faith Baptist Church. We leave the church tomorrow morning at 9. So we covet your prayers if you would covenant together with us and ask God's blessing as we go as ambassadors first and foremost of Jesus Christ and headed over to Zambia. But we'll also be representing Faith Baptist Church and the missions arm of Faith Baptist Church. And so this will be our first time that we send off a group of missionaries from our church on a missions journey. But let me say a couple things as you're working your way there. The first thing I want to say is that this is our first time sending a group, but it will not be our last time sending a group into the uttermost. And the idea is that we start out and reach out, and we're going to go as a group of men to learn, but the hope is to come back and then to train and to teach our church family how to go together and reach the uttermost part. And I hope that we as a church will capture what God is trying to do. Every service, I'll tell you, be here at every service. There'll be a video update from one of the guys on the trip in the service, both Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I hope that you will catch on to this idea that your desire would become to go with us or to go as a missionary on behalf of Faith Baptist Church. I was talking to one of the guys this morning who said, "Hey, preacher, when's the next one?" And I don't have an answer just yet, but I hope to have an answer, Lord willing, by the time we come back, when the next one is. But let me say this too, and we'll talk a little bit about it tonight. The first missions trip sent out of Jerusalem was Barnabas. Really, it was John and Peter. We'll see that a little bit tonight. But Barnabas was sent out of the church in Jerusalem to go to Antioch and to strengthen and encourage that church. So think about Barnabas. He is trip one. But you know who wasn't on trip one? Who was on trip two? The greatest missionary perhaps to ever live, Saul of Tarsus. Barnabas would leave Antioch, go and get Paul, and bring Paul with him to Antioch. And from there, the church in Antioch would commission the next missions trip, and they would send them into the Gentile world. And so perhaps you're not going on this trip. Well, let me encourage you. The next one is coming. And my prayer is that God's people will catch a burden to give their life to reaching the world. So there is no greater cause to give your life to. Building a company, that's fine, so long as you're using it for Jesus. But the greatest cause you could lose your life for isn't the military, it isn't America, it is King Jesus and his kingdom being established across the globe, okay? So I want to encourage you, number one, it's our first, but it won't be our last. Number two, it's been a long time coming. If you've been a part of Faith Baptist Church for the last 2 or 3 years, you've seen that our church has been on a bit of a journey, that God has been growing us and changing us and molding us. And we've been on a journey as a church trying to discover what is the church's job and what is not the church's job. And this journey has not always been an easy one to understand. There have been hard conversations, and there have been things that, man, we love this part or love this ministry, but it doesn't fit within the framework of what the job of the church is. And that's not always been an easy. There's been some bumps along the road. But I believe all of those things are leading us into this next chapter as a church to be able to step out and reach out and do the job of evangelism worldwide. And I hope that captures your attention. And I know that it's cold and it's early and some of you seem half asleep and maybe the coffee, Brother Herring, let's double the caffeine in next week's coffee for Brother Josh's sake on Easter. And but the fact of the matter is, I hope that it excites you. And I hope that you're engaged in the process. Maybe this is not a process that you yourself are going on. Maybe it's your spouse. I was talking to my kids last night before they went to bed. And I said, "Listen, kiddos, in the future, I want you to come with. I want you to go as well." I said, "But right now, you have a job that will help us go. You've got to be strong and you've got to be brave and you've got to help mom." We all have a part in this process of missions work. And I hope that your family is excited about possibility of going in the future. Maybe you aren't going this trip, but perhaps the next one. And I want my kids, and I want your kids too, but ultimately I will answer to God first and foremost for my children. And so last night we were really leaning into that idea of, man, someday you guys can come with us to Africa, and someday you'll be the one that goes, and maybe God will call you. And I hope that you'll dream alongside me about what the gospel of Jesus can do through Faith Baptist Church. Listen, the story of the Bible is already written. It's finished. But listen to me. The story of the kingdom is unfolding right here and now in this place.
the story of the kingdom of God coming to fruition and coming to communities and coming to your family is all being written right now. And I desperately desire for my family and my children and our church to be a part of that narrative being written. That as the kingdom of God comes and someday King Jesus will return and claim it all to himself, that we will be an active part of bringing that kingdom into the uttermost. And so we gather this morning for our first of many send-off Sundays. And I want to invite you to consider the idea with me. It's a simple idea of sending. Just grab that word. It's just a couple of letters. I want you to put it in the forefront of your imagination and mind. Sending. What does it mean? We all kind of have a framework, no doubt, of what that concept means, or maybe a loose definition. But in your mind right now, I want you to gather and kind of grasp on what you might think of a good definition of what it means to send something. But more importantly, I want you to kind of lean into the idea of maybe what does it mean to send someone? What does it mean to be a sending church? Or what does it mean to have a sending ministry? What does it mean? Let me ask you another question. Not just definition. The ability to send, what does that imply? If I could send a letter, what does it imply about me? And what does it imply about the letter? Really, it's not about letters or intangibles. What does it mean if I could send someone? Or if somebody could send someone, what does it mean about the person who's sending and what is implicit on the person who is being sent? Just think with me, what comes to mind? Maybe think about a definition or think about what the implication would be this morning and put that in your mind. And let me give you what I found in my studies on the idea of sending. Very simple concept, but it means this: to cause someone to depart for a particular purpose. Sending. To dispatch, to deploy for a particular goal. We got different men and women in the room who served in the military. You understand what it means to be sent. Hey, it's not convenient, sir, so I'm just not going to go. Well, it doesn't work, does it, military people? No. The authority of the person sending supersedes the desire of those being sent. You see what I'm saying? Whether that piece of paper, and again, it's an intangible, but it's kind of a silly to make a point, that piece of paper may not want to go to Florida, but I am sending it and my priorities outweigh it. When it comes to the commander-in-chief dispatching or deploying troops, it doesn't matter what was on their schedule. It doesn't matter what their desires were. It doesn't matter if it's going to be easy. The person sending has the priority to dispatch and to deploy based upon the priorities of the one sending. Let me just say this, and we all understand it, but let me bring it to the front of your mind. A non-negotiable starting point for us on Sending Sunday is this. We have a sending God. We have a sending God who both has the authority and the priority to dispatch on behalf of his desire and his will. Would you agree with that this morning? That we have a God who has the right and historically has exercised that right to send. That truth is implicit in the understanding of his sovereignty. That he is the great God and judge and ruler of the universe, and therefore he has the authority, and he has the desire, and he has the framework for his will being done, and therefore he dispatches his people to do that. But understand this, it didn't start with us, his people, being sent. We have a sending God who, in John chapter 3, verse 16, who sent his son. It's an unarguable reality. It's the very framework of the gospel, it's the very foundation of the church, that God, the sovereign of the universe, has the right and priority to dispatch upon his desire. And he did that with his own son. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, what's the word? Gave. I want you to look with me at the text of scripture. I'm going to have you read some things back to me. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And really, I wanted to get to verse 17, but verse 16 is just bonus, so you're welcome. Verse 17. For God, read the word out loud, sent, he's a sending God. God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, but he sent him that the world through him might be saved. So listen, for the sake of the gospel, God the Father sent his son. He dispatched Jesus into this planet to bring to fruition the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. But that's not where the sending stops. And you know that. John chapter 14, just jump over a little bit. We're going to find that not only did God send the Son, but the Son sends the Spirit. Look what John 14, 26 says. Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever things I have sent or said unto you. So listen, the Father sends Jesus. The Father sends the Spirit to seal and to teach us. But that too is not the final stop on the roadmap of God's redemptive story. You understand, think about it from heaven's side to earth. God the Father in heaven creates the earth in perfection. It falls. Well, the Father has a desire for, it's the will of the Father that no man would perish. So he sends the Son. And then people get saved, and now, man, they need an enabler and they need a comforter, so he sends the Spirit. But that's not where the story ends. That's not the X on the map. There's still more of God's redemptive plan being unfolded. The kingdom of heaven is still to be unfolded, and therefore God is still sending. And he further dispatches, and he further deploys, but who next? It was the Son, and then it was the Spirit. And then I want you to notice what Jesus says in John chapter 20, verse number 21. John chapter 20, verse 21 says this. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so, would you read it out loud? Send I you. So listen, as the commissioning officer, God the Father commissions Jesus, the Father commissions the Spirit, Jesus then commissions his church and his believers and dispatches us with orders to go and continue the unfolding of the kingdom. So the unarguable, non-negotiable starting reality for this morning on Send Off Sunday is we have a sending God. And because we have a God who desires to bring the kingdom to all men, and not only does God have the desire to send, he also has the authority to do that. Listen, obedience is not an optional thing. It's not a multiple choice question, and we can consider whether we desire to be obedient or not. The sovereign God of the universe has called his people to carry the kingdom of heaven with them into all the world. Now, this is just a bonus passage too, but you're going to have to get over it. I have like a whole sermon series that I want to preach today, okay? And I don't think we're going to be long, but I've been reading over the text, and man, it's all over, and I'm pumped about it. Go to Romans 10. Or forgive me, Luke 10. We'll be in Romans in a little bit, but Luke chapter 10. I want you to see the words of Jesus as he deploys his believers in that day and age. And some of the stuff that he says to them might not perfectly apply to us, but certainly does apply to us. I want you to see, I sent this out to the group text yesterday to the men going to Zambia and just, man, chew on this. And we had a fun time kind of looking over the text, but I do want you to see it. Luke chapter number 10. Notice Jesus commissioning his children to continue the work. He says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, Luke 10, 1. And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place. Notice why he sent them, whether he himself would come. Jesus sent his people because he himself would show up there. You understand that someday Jesus will send the angels to gather the elect and then destroy the world? He's a sending God. But he sends us, and he sent them because he said, hey, I'm going to show up in this region and I want you to go prepare the way for me. Well, listen, church family, someday Jesus is going to show up in Bakersfield, and he sent us to go before him because he himself would come. Jesus is sending us for the season to go to Zambia because he himself will go. Look at verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. God sent his people. He commissions and deploys them not to just vacation and earn money, but to labor, to work. It's the Father's will. Verse number 4, notice what he tells them. Notice the preparatory work they're supposed to carry out. He says, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoe, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, say first, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. Verse 7. And if, forgive me, says, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give you, as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire, go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, notice this part, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. He said to his people, God sent me, I send you, go tell them I'm coming. Go tell them that the kingdom of heaven is near unto them. Church family, that's exactly what it means when you go to work as a gospel witness. You're supposed to be there to tell them, hey, I know you may not realize that you're so caught up in football and fantasy leagues and 401ks and debt and all this stuff, but I need you to realize the kingdom of heaven is coming. The king is coming. That's what an ambassador and a message does. Continue into verse number 10. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this. Notice the message to the city that refuses them. Be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. It is the job of God's people to go out and to tell those people who will receive it that the kingdom of heaven is coming, and those who do not receive it, that the kingdom of heaven is coming. Listen, Christian, the king is coming. Yeah. And someday everything you and I live for that doesn't follow that or serve that end will be burned. Now, things in this life that are temporal, a job and money, all can have eternal purpose if they are used as a means to the end that the king be served and the kingdom be expanded, if those things are used for that. But the fact of the matter is, the kingdom is nigh unto us. We may never get another chance to go on another missions trip. We may not even get the chance to go on this missions trip. Jesus might come back before I finish my sermon. Praise the Lord for that. But the kingdom is nigh unto us, and therefore we must work, for the night is coming. The time is now to be a part of the unfolding story, not of the Bible, but of the kingdom of God. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into some study this morning. Thank you, Lord, for church. Lord, I ask that you would guide and govern the service. I'm just thrilled to be with my family tonight. Lord, I love these people. My heart is so for them. My heart is long to be in their presence. And Father, my heart will long to be in their presence while I'm gone. But God, these are your people. And the kingdom of heaven is nigh unto them. And I pray, God, that we as your ambassadors would be faithfully sent and dispatched and deployed into our lives and communities and into the uttermost. And Lord, I pray that we would be faithful. Lord, as we look at the example of the sending church of the first century, I pray that we would learn some things, that our hearts would apply to understand exactly what you have to teach the church. Lord, I pray for a sweet spirit amongst your people this morning. And again, God, not to be impressive. I don't care if anybody is impressed by the delivery or the structure or the, none of that matters, Lord. And you know that, and I think I know that. I think I can say that honestly. But I pray, God, that your word would be given in a clear way and that it would have free course and your spirit would apply to us exactly what you've got for us as individuals and as a church. Thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for these people, Lord. Thank you for their faith and their courage to go forward and their courage to give and to invest and to pour into this process. And I pray that we would not just a handful of us would capture the vision, but all of us. Lord, I pray for the men as we go that you would give us boldness as in Acts chapter 4. Lord, that we would preach fervently and clearly the word of God and that souls would be saved and fruit would remain and churches would be started. Lord, we don't want to just go over there and have a trip. Lord, we want to go over there and bring the kingdom nigh unto them. Lord, help us and guide us in Christ's name. We ask these things. Amen. Just for a few moments, as we only have so much time left in the service, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to lean back into this idea of sending. God the Father sending Jesus. God the Father sending the Spirit. Jesus sending us. But there's actually a lot more to the story. He doesn't just tell us to go, but he also tells us, listen, to send. It's not just the job of the church for us to go, but it's actually the command. He gives the command and delegates the authority to become senders ourselves. So it's not just enough. And again, see the big picture. God the Father sends the Son and the Spirit, and Jesus sends the church. But then he also doesn't just say, hey, you all go. He looks to the church and delegates authority and says, now, church family, I'm going to give the job of sending, not just to me, but to you. The church should be a sending station. And I want you to see that with me in Romans chapter 10, and we'll see it across the New Testament as well, but I want you to look with me in Romans chapter 10. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's a familiar passage. We use it when we preach the gospel, but it's also tied into those texts, the natural unfolding understanding that, hey, if someone's going to hear, they got to believe, and if they got to believe, they've got to, well, forgive me, if they're going to believe, they've got to hear, and if they're going to hear, then somebody needs to tell them. And if somebody's going to tell them, someone's got to send them to do that. Look what Romans 10:13 says. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God for that. It's a great verse, but it doesn't end there. It doesn't even start there. Look at verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? You see, he's walking backwards to the Genesis of how someone calls in faith. How can they call in faith if they haven't heard? And how can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if someone didn't preach it to them? Notice what it says in verse number 15. And how shall they preach? Would you read the next four words out loud? Except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So church family, can I just say this? Not only does God send and Jesus send, but he tells us to send, not just go. The church is actually commissioned to become a sending station to dispatch and deploy its members across the planet, to dispatch them, to accomplish the will of the Father, to deploy them to the uttermost. What can I ask you? Why then is that such a rarity? I think there's two major problems that create this massive disparity. Where the Father says, hey, Jesus, go. And Jesus says, okay. And the Father says, all right, Spirit, go. And he says, okay. And then we as Christians are supposed to go out into the world. And we're like, all right, we can do that. But then when it comes to the church sending people, what happens? Why is there such a breakdown? I think there's two major problems in what I would consider the American form of Christianity. Number one, some Christians are unwilling to be sent. Now, we'll talk just a little bit about it, but I don't actually think that's the biggest problem. And really, I really don't think that's the biggest plaguing problem. I don't think it's the root cause of the disparity we see. I think each of us should be willing to be sent. We ought to be willing to and surrender to be dispatched or to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, not entangled with the affairs of this life, willing to uproot just like a good soldier and be sent to another deployment or another station. We all ought to be willing to be sent. But I think the greatest share of fault doesn't land on the church membership not being willing. I actually think in American Christianity, the biggest issue is that churches are unwilling to send. Let me explain to you what I mean. The American model of churches oftentimes stores up its assets, not relinquishing them. We save and hoard up, right? And I understand the logic behind it. I don't understand the heart behind it. But think about it. We as a church, we invest in people. And man, we knock on their doors and we reach them. And we help their marriages and we build into them. And we love them and we help them, fall in love with Jesus. But then to lose them? Oh, a little hard. It'd be a little bit offensive to think that, man, maybe some of the guys going on this trip, maybe God will call them to stay behind. Oh! Staff and deacons and Sunday school teachers. I don't like that idea. But you know what the fact of the matter is? The greatest asset a church has here in Bakersfield is not our millions. We don't have millions. It's our members. The greatest asset Faith Baptist Church has is you. And if God tells the church to send, that might mean we lose some people. And that's very offensive on the front end. That's very uncomfortable to think, well, what happens to the church? It's not my church. It's not my church. It's his church. He built his church. And if the commander-in-chief decides, well, I need you from here to go over there, then God's people have to be willing to be sent and send. I was speaking with a lady and her heart so pure on the idea and her church just isn't where it could be to send her. And she was talking to me recently about it and she said, I'd love to go do that, but my church can't send me. And would to God, every church in America would become a sending station to enable and send their people. I was doing a little bit of research, talked with a Corey this morning. It takes on average for independent Baptist churches, it takes three churches to produce one missionary in the entire lifespan. Three churches to produce one missionary. Three churches collectively. With all their giving and all their hours of sound Bible preaching, with all of their programs and kids' classes, three churches to produce one missionary. Something's wrong with the model, right? Could we all agree to that? There's no way when Jesus told the church, as the Father sends me, so send I you, send out preachers to the uttermost, he meant one out of every three. And the fact of the matter is, the number's far worse than that because the churches that are producing missionaries are producing multiple missionaries and the churches that aren't producing missionaries aren't producing any. So it's probably far more like 10 to 1. But I submit to you, one of the greatest offense in this equation isn't that members aren't willing, because I really do think if you were trained, which is the church's job, remember we talked about that, if you were actively pointed in the right direction, which is the church's job, if we worked on the logistics and you use your gift and I'll use my gift and we could point the spear in the right direction, that I really do think members would say, okay, sign me up. I'm ready to go. I'll just be yielded to God. Whatever happens, happens. I don't think the issue all the time lands on the, and even most of the time lands on the side of membership. I think it lands on the side that churches just won't send. So for the rest of this time, this morning, I'm going to really just give you 3 points. And again, homiletically, the structure of the sermon is not what I would normally like. But I want to spend some time and give you 3 things that we're going to find a pattern, 3 patterns we find in the church in the book of Acts that they sent, the pattern of ascending church in the book of Acts. Would you go with me to Acts chapter number 8? We're going to look at 3 specific times in the church's history in that very first century that the church sent someone or someones away into the harvest field. And we're going to learn some things about them. I want you to see number 1 as you're going to Acts chapter number 8. The church sent, the early church sent people, sent men to help strengthen new believers and new church plants. You're going to see it right here in the text of Scripture. Look at Acts chapter number 8, verse number 15. It says, verse number 14. It says this, "Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God," read the next 2 words out loud, "they sent unto them Peter and John." Follow the equation, church family. Listen, the church in Jerusalem hears, man, there's Christians in Samaria. They've received the word of truth. What is their response? Prayer? Giving? Or sending? What is it? It's sending. And prayer is great. That you'll see that response too. You'll see in Antioch, they fasted, they prayed, they separated Paul and Barnabas. But what you're going to find every time is when the church hears the need, their response is action. And that is not always the model we follow. Because it's easy to pacify our Christianity by saying, oh, there's a need, I'll give. There's a need, I'll pray. And that's great. But that's not the model you find. The model we find is, oh man, there's a church plant in Mongu. There's a handful of believers that need tracks. And God's people say, yeah, we'll buy those tracks. And then we'll send a delegation from our church to go strengthen those new believers and that new church. That is exactly what you find in the New Testament. The church deploying its greatest assets into the uttermost for new believers and new church plants. The same exact thing happens in Antioch. Look with me, if you would, in Acts chapter number 11. Just go a couple pages over. We're going to go in chronological order, so just keep your finger there in Acts and keep moving a page or two at a time. Look with me at Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. It says this, "Now they which were scattered abroad, upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." So you understand what's happening. Saul of Tarsus is breathing out threatenings. The church begins to scatter from Jerusalem, and they're going everywhere with the gospel. But look at verse 20. "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians." Now the gospel is breaking out of the Jewish stronghold, preaching the Lord Jesus. "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then the tiding of those things came into the ears," same pattern, "of the church, which was in Jerusalem," and, next 2 words, please, "they sent." They heard it. They saw the need. There's believers in Samaria. There's believers in Antioch. They heard it, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he was come and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So church family, the first pattern we find in the New Testament is that the church hears a need of new believers and a new church and sends a delegation to strengthen those men in the word of God and in the work of God. And let me just say, that is exactly the heart for tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. A group of men from our church, your fathers, your husbands, many of you, we're not married to all of you, but some of you, We've heard of saints in Mongu. We've heard, I talked about Wednesday night, a man named Roderick who had been reached in Lusaka and disappeared and ended up in Mambua and has a group of believers with no pastor and no church and no person to preach to them the word of God. And Corey said, all right, guys, we're changing our plans. We're landing in Lusaka and we're going to Mambua. We don't have any idea where we're staying. Half of the day for the entire trip has no power, whether at night or in the morning. But there is a group of saints that need to be challenged and encouraged and strengthened. And let me say, church family, that's New Testament missions. That's the work of the church. This Antioch is hours and hours and hours, maybe days away of travel in that century, probably faster for us to get to Mambua than it is for them to get to Antioch from Jerusalem to go strengthen new believers. But that's not the only thing the church sent people for. I want you to go to Acts chapter 13 and look at verse number 1. You're going to find that the church sent people out to start new churches. Not just strengthen new churches, but to start new churches. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. You'll recognize this passage. It says, now there was in the church that was in Antioch. So now after Barnabas has strengthened this group, he actually goes and gets Saul of Tarsus, brings him in. Now there was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Menan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and notice who makes the last end of the list. Oh, and Saul was there, who is Paul, right? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul, or forgive me, see, I want to say Paul and Barnabas, but this is one of the few times in the New Testament, especially earlier on, it's actually Barnabas and Saul. It says, Barnabas and Saul, for the work run to I have called them. And when they had fasted, church family, would you fast for us while we're gone? They had fasted and prayed. There are certain things Jesus taught us come only by prayer and fasting. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. We're doing that tonight, and sent them away. And they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed into Seleucia and from thence sailed to Cyprus. And on Cyprus, they will begin the process of planting church after church after church that would eventually the churches would start other churches and churches would start other churches. And eventually in 1987, Faith Baptist Church would be started through the work that started here in Antioch going into the uttermost. Can I just say, church family, that's missions. That's New Testament missions. That our church would send people to go start churches. That the gospel would go, that the kingdom of heaven would be nigh unto them through the work of Faith Baptist Church. And I'll be honest with you, church family, pray. We're praying that God would allow us to begin the works of starting and planting a church. Whether that's in Muyu or Mambua or some other region that God would open the door, that's been the prayer request from the beginning. Not just to do it there, but to learn how to do it. To come home and to do it ourselves. To come home and to multiply the efforts of Faith Baptist Church. To start a church in the other communities in our valley. There are so many places on this planet who do not know or have heard the name of Jesus. And the solution to that is to have a sending church. God looked in heaven and said the solution to man's lost condition is to send Jesus. Well, now in the church age, the solution to that same problem is for the church to send Christians to tell them that God sent Jesus. We are earthen vessels with treasure inside. The treasure is not us, but that treasure is Jesus, and we can go and share with the world. So listen, follow me and don't lose me because you might think I got confused and I didn't. Listen, the church sent, number one, to strengthen new churches. Number two, to start new churches. Number three, the church sent men to strengthen new churches to start new churches. You just say that in circle? Kinda. So number one, the church sent to strengthen churches. Number two, the church sent to start new churches. But number three, there were men sent out of the church to go strengthen a new church, that new church could start a new church. Amen. That's literally the pattern of discipleship all throughout the New Testament. And you'll see it in 2 Timothy. You know that passage. But here's what I want you to understand. Go to Acts chapter number 15. You're going to see it. In Acts chapter number 15, a little bit of background. The Council of Jerusalem over the Gentiles' responsibility to the law has just concluded. James and the church there, the delegation of elders, decide, no, they don't need, the Bible's, the Spirit is very clear, they don't need to be circumcised to be saved. Hey, do these certain things, it'll help the brethren who are Jews, but you don't need to do that. And at the end of this close of this council, the church has now met Paul, the Christians in Jerusalem have heard of the Gentile churches, and I want you to see what the church does in response to having met Paul and heard of what's happening. Notice what happens in verse number 22 of Acts 15. Then pleased it the apostles and the elders with the whole church. So they're all excited about it to do what? To send chosen men of their own company. They're going to lose men here. Those people they've invested in and reached and strengthened. Now God says, now they're mine to give them to me. I'm going to send them elsewhere. Chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas. How'd you like to have that name in that century, right? Judas, surname Barsabbas. And what's that guy's name? Silas, chief men among the brethren. They took some of their best men and said, now you guys go to Antioch and encourage that church. Well, if you know anything about what happens next, it appears that Judas does go and strengthen and come home. But Silas is the very next church planting partner of Paul. Something will happen between Barnabas and Paul and John Mark, and Paul will look at Silas, who's a transplant in that ministry, and say, you're coming with me. And Silas says, yeah, let's go start other churches. So listen, the model laid out in the book of Acts is so clear. Established churches, and I'm just going to say, I don't think this is proud at all, but I think Faith Baptist Church is a strong church. I really do. I've watched God do amazing things in our congregation. I've watched God heal marriages. I've watched God save souls. These baptism waters are stirred often. I get it. There's some people sick today and some people out of town. I don't really care about the numbers, but God is doing a great work at Faith Baptist Church. And if you don't see that, you're either here for the first time or you're blind. And I believe that Faith Baptist Church is an established church. And God's plan is this, that established churches send and start churches and strengthen new churches so that those new churches can start churches, so that those new churches can be strengthened to start new churches. It's the model of the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 2. The things which thou hast learned in me, the things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The plan is to learn, then to impart and help them learn so they can teach others also. That's how the church works. But in order to do that, we have to be willing to send. And the church needs faithful men who will learn the word of God so that they themselves can teach others also. If you are here at Faith Baptist Church as a consumer, I'm glad you come. I really am. I hope church is a blessing to you. But singing is not about you. It's about him. And church is not about helping you feel better about you. It's about his glory. And yes, church has a natural byproduct of strengthening you and helping with depression and anxiety and all of those things, because it'll help you walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's some natural byproducts that do come to our life by being a faithful part of a church. But the purpose of being a faithful part of the church is not just to take in. It's to learn. The definition of a faithful man is someone who will teach others also. The same commit thou to faithful men. And faithful man is described as a man who can teach others also. So if you're consuming at a church and taking in at a church, but you're never faithfully learning to faithfully impart, then you're not being faithful. You fill a pew every Sunday and in a measure you're faithful. Sure, I'll give you that. I'm not disparaging that. I'm simply saying it's not the end goal of what the church should be. The church should be able to send. So let me just put all the cards on the table. And I don't mean to make a poker reference in the pulpit. It's too late. I already did it. Sorry. Here's the thing. Some of you, that's the only thing you caught all service. So God help you. We will send you out if you will be sent. I make that commitment to you, Faith. And I love you and don't want to lose you. Really don't. But if God wants to put you somewhere for the sake of the kingdom, as the pastor, the overseer in charge, which is the biblical term, we can debate that later, you'll lose, I promise. But the fact of the matter is, as the pastor, we will point the effort and resources to send you. We'll take our time and train you the best that God has given us the ability. And man, God's given us the ability to train. We've got some great men who know how to handle the word and teach men and strengthen and disciple. And man, we'll do our very best to be a collegiate level educator for your life to send you to the field. We'll do our very best as a church to raise the resources and cut where we need to and point the force of the Faith Baptist Church at sending you if you will be sent. This is not a hypothetical. This is our present reality. If, and my prayer is that there will be, a new work started sometime this next month in Zambia, if in 3 months they need to be strengthened, would you be willing to be sent? I'm not saying you have to give the rest of your life to be there for 25 years or you fail. Would you be willing to go for a month and disciple? Could you disciple? Some of you are like, oh, I don't think I'd get off work. Well, forget that. Let's just trust God that he could do that. But if you could get it off work and we could help you go, would you have something to teach them for a month? And if not, let's fix that. Because the job and the desire and the design of Faith Baptist Church is to send. So would you volunteer? Would you take the flight? Would you lose the hours? Are you willing to give yourself to the Great Commission? And my prayer is this, that we become, and I believe we are becoming, I really, like I said, I feel like God's been doing some great work in our church family, but my prayer is that we would become a church full of men and women and families willing to be sent. And I get it, this trip, we were told we could only take so many people, and we needed a couple of very specific things filled in. But the next trip, I believe, the Lord allow us, we'll open it to families and to moms. And if you're willing, we'll try our very best to help send you. Tonight, we will send a group from this church. And here's what I need from you. I need you to be here tonight. This is not just a hollow ploy to be faithful in church. And I don't think there can be a hollow ploy to be faithful in church. God said it, you should do it. Don't pray about whether to be in church tonight. God told you to be in church tonight. Be in church, okay? But it's the job of the church to send. And I really want to encourage you to be a part of that process tonight as we lay hands and pray and send the men of Faith Baptist Church out. It's the job of the church to send. So we're going to pray. We've got 15 different prayer requests that we need volunteers. Hey, would you pray for this? And would you pray for that? And we're going to pray publicly and corporately. And we're going to lay hands and we're going to send this group off. And listen, when we come home, you be ready. Have your hearts open. Acts chapter 14, you're probably close by. Would you turn there? I love this. After Paul's first missionary trip, he comes back to Antioch. And I want you to see what happens. And this is going to happen, Faith Baptist Church. We've already told all of our men, all of us are going to be a part of this process when we come home. Acts 14, 26, it says, and thence sailed to Antioch. So they're making their way home. And Paul and Barnabas, they thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. Hey, they're going to where they came from for the work which they fulfilled. So they did it. And when they were come, and had gathered the church together. This is going to be April the 14th. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. In April, the Sunday nights in April, we'll have our men rehearsing what God has done. And the reason for that is not to say, hey, look at how hot it was. Look at how difficult it was. Look at how, we're not sightseeing, so I don't know what else we would tell you about. But the purpose is to say, man, look what God did over here. And look what God did over here. And the hope then is to encourage the church to say, me next. The desire of God is to send. And the plan of God is to send through the church. Let's pray.